The philosophy of black nationalism only means that we will have to carry on a program, a political program of re-education to open our people's eyes, make us become more politically conscious, politically mature. And then we will, whenever we get ready to cast our ballot, that ballot will be cast for a man of the community who has the good of the community at heart. And the economic philosophy of black nationalism only means that we should own and operate and control the economy of our community. You would never find, you can't open up a black store in a white community. White man won't even patronize you. And he's not wrong. He got sense enough to look out for himself. And you who don't have sense enough to look out for yourself. The white man is too intelligent to let someone else come and gain control of the economy of his community. But you will let anybody come in and control the economy of your community. Control the housing, control the education, control the jobs, control the businesses under the pretext that you want to integrate. No, you're out of your mind. The economic philosophy of black nationalism only means that we have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man. The man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a rundown community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar. And you and I are in a double trap, because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the businesses of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap. But the political and economic philosophy of black nationalism, the economic philosophy of black nationalism shows our people the importance of setting up these little stores and developing them and expanding them into larger operations. Woolworth didn't start out big like they are today. They started out with a dime store and expanded and expanded and then expanded until today they're all over the country and all over the world, and they're getting some of everybody's money. Now, this, what you and I and General Motors, the same way, didn't start out like it is. It started out just a little rat race type operation, and it expanded and expanded until today it's where it is right now. And you and I have to make a start. And the best place to start is right in the community where we live. So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community. And once you can create some employment in the community where you live, it will eliminate the necessity of you and me having to act ignorantly and disgracefully boycotting and picketing some cracker someplace else trying to beg him for a job. Anytime you have to rely upon your enemy for a job, you're in bad shape. And he is your enemy. Anytime, you wouldn't be in this country if some enemy hadn't kidnapped you and brought you here. On the other hand, some of you think you came here on the Mayflower. So as you can see, brothers and sisters, today, this afternoon, it's not our intention to discuss religion. We're going to forget religion. If we bring up religion, we'll be in an argument. And the best way to keep away from arguments and differences, as I said earlier, put your religion at home, in the closet. Keep it between you and your God. Because if it hasn't done anything more for you than it has, you need to forget it anyway. Same problem. They don't hang you because you're a Baptist, they hang you because you're black. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim, they attack me because I'm black. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging. You can't sing up on freedom, but you can swing up on some freedom. Cassius Clay can sing, but singing didn't help him to become the heavyweight champion of the world. So this government has failed us. The government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we've turned have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program, a do-it-yourself philosophy, a do-it-right-now philosophy. It's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy. Black nationalism is a self-help philosophy. What's so good about it, you can stay right in the church where you are and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can stay in any kind of civic organization that you belong to and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can be an atheist and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. This is a philosophy that eliminates the necessity for division and argument. Because if you're black, you should be thinking black. And if you're black and you're not thinking black at this late date, well, I'm sorry for you. Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What, think of the image of someone sitting. An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave. Just as it took nationalism to remove colonialism from Asia and Africa, it'll take black nationalism today to remove colonialism from the backs and the minds of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country. Looks like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet. Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. They've become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this?
Everybody seems to be preaching revolution.
I remember Miriam Makeba, and I remember Miriam Makeba doing that wonderful song, a revolutionary in her own right, exiled from South Africa for all those years during apartheid, the great Mary Makeba, remembering Malcolm. And when I was in Africa and stuff, how I marveled at there was not a single township that I went through that didn't have people walking around with baseball caps with X's on them and with shirts with X's and other imagery of Malcolm, the great Malcolm X, who believed that the education or re-education of the African-American people of this country was necessary for the building of a new mass movement capable of fighting effectively for human rights. You know, he took every opportunity he could to get on television and radio and at press conferences and interviews and public meetings, large or small, to teach, to explain, to show the connections between various aspects of the freedom struggle, to induce people to think for themselves. He always adapted his speaking style to the particular audience he faced, using the vocabulary and the rhythm best suited for communication. The speech we were just listening to is just searing. It's a drumbeat of the people. It's so rich in material and conceptually significant. He's talking about a Southern Rim strategy, creating a voting bloc of African Americans to really take back the South and to take back through the ballot the governance of the country. He's discussing the development of cooperative economics. He is a precursor and indeed an inspiration to the marvelous project that is Cooperation Jackson that is going on. How much is attributable to the teaching of Malcolm, the idea of cooperative economics, to begin to build a structure on which to build for the deconstruction, really, of the capitalist system. And Malcolm was discussing revolutionary nationalism and pan-Africanism. He was also discussing the separation of church and state, of religion and the state. All of that was just in the first 15 minutes of that salient, resonating, revolutionary, strategic, and tactically brilliant speech, the great Malcolm X. I just want to very, very succinctly ask you to support WBAI by making a pledge of $185 now, right now. No more procrastination. This is the time. Our sizzling spring fund drive. Now is the time. And there could be no better time than to call right now and to ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy, for your contribution, your pledge, your commitment through your dollars to WBAI Radio. We will give you the most wonderful set of films and CDs, a whole lifetime of wisdom and learning in the form of Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. $185 contribution is what we're asking. You can go to your phone and call 516-620-3602. Call 516-620-3602. And you're challenging me, so what will I get? Well, I'm going to tell you. When you ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy, you will get 6 films, 6 CDs, and I'm going to tell you what those films are. Malcolm X, Make It Plain, 2+ hour length comprehensive film that is the best overall depiction and characterization of the life and times of Malcolm X. El-Haj Malik al-Shabazz by a revolutionary journalist, Gil Noble, who we lost, but who also remains with us through projects like El-Haj Malik al-Shabazz, the film that he made on the life of Malcolm X, from a particular perspective, looking at the leadership role in the development and the enhancement by bringing in tens of thousands of people to the Black Muslim movement, and Malcolm's influence on African Americans throughout the diaspora and Africans throughout the diaspora, from the Caribbean through the African continent, and his role as Pan-Africanist and internationalist, El-Haj Malik al-Shabazz by the great Gil Noble. The Covert War Against Malcolm, produced also by Gil Noble, one of the really important works that gives you perhaps the most painful but profound view of the machinations of the state when it's the status quo, when the plutocracy, when the corporatocracy feels threatened, what they will do to take out Black leadership, and what Malcolm was confronted with. Who wanted Malcolm silenced? Malcolm X, his own story, the most autobiographical of all of the pieces, prepared largely with the assistance of Betty Shabazz, fresh from the misery, the overwhelming terror and misery of watching her husband gunned down with her children there at the Audubon Ballroom. This film is raw and grating. It depicts Malcolm as though it were this very moment, right in the midst of community, what he thought about, how he thought, how the people received him. It's street corner justice. It's absolutely penetrates the temperament and character of the times. By any means necessary, Malcolm X, his own story, and then the really creative piece with relatives, acquaintances from way back of Malcolm. Seven songs from Malcolm X, depicted with tons of testimonies that intersect and intercut into these great jazz pieces, the eyewitness accounts with tableau and dramatic reenactments, the film that explores the life and legacy of Malcolm X with his widow there too, of Betty Shabazz, and friends and acquaintances and families. Such an engrossing portrait, such a creative depiction, a specifically African-American vision of human rights. Seven Songs from Malcolm, and Malcolm Raw, the film that I was involved in the making of. Well, I don't think it's getting any Pulitzers. I don't think it's quite up for Academy. But that's just because the cinematography, well, it's raw. It's raw footage that is woven, it's sewn together like the most wonderful tapestry of the complete politics in every situation you can imagine of Malcolm X, and the juxtaposition tactically in many ways and strategically with Martin Luther King, and the nature and the different philosophies of the Black liberatory movements of the time. So those are the DVDs, I should say, the CDs. They just blow me out of the water. And I listen to them constantly, and I learn, and my understanding of the system is enhanced, and I get a better sense of what road to follow and how to communicate with people. Malcolm X on the Black Revolution, Malcolm X discussing the Organization for Afro-American Unity that he formed, Malcolm X as he kicked it in the proverbial butt with the conservatives who were addressing him and debating him at Oxford University. Malcolm X, as he speaks on police murder and police violence, its history, his profound understanding of the role of policing within this society, none better ever delivered. The great ballad of, or the bullet, which, hey, this this gives you a way to begin to really take a look at and get a handle on and bring to people what they should be demanding from the 2020 candidates running in that all-important election coming up. Ah, the ballad of the bullet. Wow. Malcolm's speech to the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Malcolm, as he spoke just weeks before his death at the Militant Labor Forum on socialism, on, oh, good gracious. Sisters and brothers, okay, Malcolm X, Make It Plain, El Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, produced by Gil Noble. The Covert War Against Malcolm X by Gil Noble. Malcolm X, By Any Means Necessary, His Own Story. Seven songs from Malcolm X. Malcolm Raw. Malcolm on the world scene with leaders from all over the African continent talking about the contribution Malcolm made there and in the Caribbean, and how his roots from a Garveyist background in Jamaica had everything to do with his development into a revolutionary Black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. Malcolm S., as he spoke to the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and in the beginning of a kind of understanding and tactical rapprochement with Martin Luther King, 516-620-3602. Oh, the time is racing so fast. 516-620-3602. So I want to get right back in to playing you as much of Malcolm and pieces from segues from these stunning package of material, which BAI needs you to step up to the plate and support it like you never have before, because we need it more than we have in decades and decades. The times are too precarious. The move towards militarism and war, the increasing impoverishment and distribution of wealth becomes more and more fundamentally unequal. 516-620-3602. The nature of racism and bigotry and bias against our immigrant brothers and sisters, against the African American population and so many others, the control over women, the misogyny that is part of fascism on the rise. We need the wisdom in Malcolm more than ever before. Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. Call 516-620-3602 and ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. Say what? Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. The drumbeat of a brilliant intellect that will keep on keeping on and fortify you, inspire you, educate you, and give you ideas for how we move the movement forward. 516-620-3602. Let us now go back and listen to Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy.
You feel, however, that we're making progress in this country and worldwide?
No. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
They won't
even admit the knife is there.
I did receive word from him that the 90-day suspension that I was under was not to be lifted.
that it would remain indefinite. And as I...
When did this take place?
This past week. Mm-hmm. And so I just reached the conclusion that I frankly didn't think that I would ever be an active member of the Nation of Islam anymore.
I'm a believer in the Honorable Elijah and follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
I'm still a Muslim. My religion is Islam.
Right.
I run into some obstacles in the Nation of Islam, and I feel that I can best serve the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's purpose and program and carry into existence what I feel, I understand, concerning his objectives better on the outside than I can on the inside. And now that I have the independence of action, it's my intention to work with everybody or against everybody, whatever the case may be, to try and get some kind of immediate solution to the problems that are confronting our people. I still believe the best thing for us to do is go back home to Africa. But while we're getting ready to go back, we've got to eat now, we've got to sleep now, we have to have some clothes now, our children have to go to school, and we need some place to work. So whatever kind of action program can be devised to get us the things that are ours by right, then I'm for that kind of action, no matter what the action is. The purpose of our organization is to start right here in Harlem, which has the largest concentration of people of African descent that exists anywhere on this earth. There are more Africans here in Harlem than exist in any city on the African continent, because that's what you and I are, Africans. Our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. New bridges must be built, because in the minds of the majority of our people today, Africa is too far away. So the only way you and I can point them in that direction is build new bridges. We have to have the type of understanding of Africa and the type of understanding of our people here in order to build a bridge, a contact, a line of communication between the two. And once the lines of communication have been established and our African brothers can stretch forth their hands and reach us, and we can stretch forth our hands and reach them, why, there's nothing that this blue-eyed man in this country will be able to do to you and me successfully from that day onward. I don't think when a man is being criminally treated that some criminal has the right to tell that man what tactics to use to get the criminal off his back. When a criminal starts misusing me, I am going to use whatever necessary to get that criminal off my back. Don't blame a cracker in Georgia for your injustices. The government is responsible for the injustices.
Malcolm, have your experiences with white-skinned Muslims in Africa and the Middle East made you feel that relations between Negroes and whites who are not Muslims is any more possible?
When I was on the pilgrimage, I had close contact with Muslims whose skin would in America be classified as white, and with Muslims who themselves would be classified as white in America. But these particular Muslims didn't call themselves white. They looked upon themselves as human beings, as part of the human family, and therefore they looked upon all other segments of the human family as part of that same family.
Well,
now, they had a different look or a different air or a different attitude than that which is reflected in the attitude of the man in America who calls himself white. So I said that if Islam had done that for them, perhaps if the white man in America would study Islam, perhaps it could do the same thing for him.
At Jeddah in Saudi Arabia on the way to Mecca, I remember the ancient words of Allah, Claim the pilgrimage among men. They will come on foot and upon lean camel. They will come from every deep ravine. From Mecca, the holy city of Islam, I wrote to friends in America. Never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality and true brotherhood as is practiced here in this ancient holy land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, and all the other prophets of the Holy Scriptures. You may be shocked at these words coming from me, but what I have seen has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held, to toss aside some of my previous conclusions. For during the past 11 days, I've eaten from the same plate, drunk from the same glass, slept on the same rug, and prayed to the same God with fellow Muslims whose eyes were the bluest of blue, whose hair was the blondest of blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. We are truly the same because their belief in one God has removed the white from their minds, the white from their behavior, and the white from their attitudes. Wearing the ihram garb of a pilgrim, I made the seven circuits around the Kaaba. I drank from the sacred well of Zemzem. I ran between the hills of Safa and Marwa. I stood on Mount Ararat and with my brothers proclaimed, I come, O Lord, I come. God is great. Lead us, O Lord, in peace. And for the first time in my 39 years on this earth, I stood before the Creator of all and felt like a complete human being. Sincerely, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X.
I think a lot of people confused by the new Arabic name, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
I've always had the name on my passport, Malik El Shabazz, only I only used it in the Muslim world. Well, Hajj is a title that is given to any Muslim who makes the pilgrimage to Mecca during the official Hajj season.
Well, will you now use Shabazz and drop X?
I'll probably continue to use Malcolm X because, and I'll probably use it as long as the situation that produced it exists.
you don't feel that Shabazz takes the place of X?
My going to Mecca and going into the Muslim world, into the African world, and being recognized and accepted as a Muslim and as a brother may solve the problem for me personally. But I personally feel that my personal problem is never solved as long as the problem is not solved for all of our people in this country. So I remain Malcolm X as long as there is a need to protest and struggle and fight against the injustices that our people are involved in this country.
Are you prepared to go into the United Nations at this point and ask that charges be brought against the United States for its treatment of American Negroes?
Oh, yes. Please.
I think you're right in my chair.
The audience will have to be quiet. Yes, as I pointed out when I was during my traveling, that nations look, African nations and Asian nations and Latin American nations look very hypocritical when they stand up in the United Nations condemning the racist practices of South Africa and that which is practiced by Portugal and Angola and saying nothing in the UN about the racist practices that are manifest every day against Negroes in this society. Even in South Africa, those Africans aren't faced with bayonets and aren't faced with police dogs. I would be not a man. If I was in a position to bring it in front of the United Nations and didn't do so, I wouldn't be a man.
Malcolm, do you intend to lead the charge in the United Nations?
Well, I find that to say you're going to lead something creates a lot of hostility, division, jealousy, and envy. I hope to work with any group of leaders or any group of organizations to do whatever is necessary to see that this problem is brought before the United Nations.
Have you had any commitment from any nations in Africa to support you in such a move?
I would rather not say at this time, but one thing I found in my travels, all of them look upon us as their long-lost brother.
You realize the implication is that you have had such commitments when you say...
This is your interpretation of what I said. One thing that I found in all of my travels was that all of the Africans, not only the Africans, but the Asians and the Muslims, look upon us as their long-lost brothers. And America had actually tricked many of them into a hands-off policy by giving them the impression that she was honestly trying to do something to solve the problem. My argument over there was designed to prove that it is impossible for the United States government to solve the race problem. It's impossible.
Malcolm, on your trip abroad, you said you sensed a feeling of great brotherhood and that conceivably you would be working toward integration in this country now. At least this is what you're reported to have said. Any comment on it?
I don't think that I ever mentioned anything about working toward integration. They haven't even got integration right here in New York City. You have worse integration problems in the North than they have in the South. So if it doesn't work, if you can't bring about integration in New York City, as international, cosmopolitan, up-to-date as it's supposed to be, you will never get integration anywhere else in the country.
So you're prepared to work with some of the leaders of the other civil rights organizations?
Certainly. Certainly. We will work with any groups, organizations, or leaders in any way, as long as it's genuinely designed to get results.
Does your new beard have any religious significance?
No, not particularly, but I do think that you'll find black people in America, as they strive to throw off the shackles of mental colonialism, will also probably reflect an effort to throw off the shackles of cultural colonialism. And they may begin to reflect desires of their own, with standards of their own.
Malcolm, a more controversial remarks was a call for black people to get rifles and form rifle clubs some time back. Do you still favor that for self-defense?
I don't see why that should be controversial. I think that if white people found themselves the victim of the same kind of brutality that black people in this country face, and they saw that the government was either unwilling or unable to protect them, that the intelligence on the part of the whites would make them get some rifles and shotguns and protect themselves. Now, Negroes are developing some kind of intellectual maturity too. And they can see that by having waited upon the government to protect them has been a wait that has been in vain. So any of them who live in areas where the government is not able to do its job, then we do have to get together and do a job of protecting ourselves.
No Negro leaders have fought for civil rights.
What do you mean
they
by
have
fought?
Begged for civil rights? They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.
Now, let him get to know, too, that since he's been gone, the wheel ain't stopped. We've still been chopping them down with their hate and with all that guns, but they ain't stopped us, and they ain't going to stop us.
When we get to Montgomery, we want to hold council with Mr. Watt.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have a fight with the Ku Klux Klan.
No.
We got a fight with these folks over here in this soda. Yeah. I know that some of them probably was out under some of the sheets themselves.
Now we have the type of black man on the scene in America today who just doesn't intend to turn the other cheek any longer.
We want to let the whole world know that we are going to pick our heroes from today on.
You'll never see me stand up and tell this thing national anthem represents me.
We want to turn on the gas. We want to turn on the water. We want to sell the clothes. We want to sell the cars. We want to be men. We want self-determination.
Back during slavery, when black people like me talked to the slaves, they didn't kill them. They'd send some old house Negro along behind him to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate and wore his same clothes. And he could talk just like his master. Good diction.
And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick?" When the master's house caught a fire, he'd try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened. And he was more defensive of it than the master was. That was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negroes who lived in huts, had nothing to lose. They wore the worst kind of clothes, they ate the worst food, and they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. I'm a field Negro. The dark people are waking up. They're losing their fear of the white man. No place right now where he's fighting is he winning. Everywhere he's fighting someone your and my complexion. And they're beating him. He can't win anymore. Nowhere on this earth does a white man
Malcolm X, the end of white world supremacy. You were listening to a clip from one of our really exciting, great film documentaries. Malcolm X. Yeah. Obviously, we can't play it all, and we only have minutes left, and I insist that we get another piece in here for you to have all of this, to thoughtfully listen to it and to listen again and again and to watch these things again and again. You're just going to have to ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. Your pledge of $185 will get you 6 DVDs and 5 CDs of one-of-a-kind, priceless, rare gems of Malcolm X film and CDs. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Malcolm X, Make It Plain, the full featured-length documentary, the most comprehensive on the life and development of the teachings of Malcolm X. Alhaj Malik al-Shabazz, produced by great Gil Noble, the life of Malcolm X, his leadership in the Black Muslim movement and his influence on African Americans and Africans across the diaspora, his role as Pan-Africanist, revolutionary, nationalist, internationalist, the covert war against Malcolm X, the role of the state against Malcolm X. Malcolm X's own story, the most autobiographical of all the work, the most creative film, 7 Songs from Malcolm X, where you learn about in the most warm and winning way who Malcolm was as a person, from relatives, from former cellmates of Malcolm, also from some great cultural figures. Malcolm's love and involvement with jazz, and did he influence John Coltrane, or was it Coltrane that influenced him? Both of them were iconoclasts. Both gave the drum beat, the soul, the story, the drum beat historically of the African American people. And Malcolm Raw, the most comprehensive look specifically at the evolution of the politics of Malcolm X as he grew and not changed and changed, but grew and developed and absorbed more information and used it ever more focused and cogently these CDs from Oxford University, Los Angeles, The Ballot or the Bullet, the discussion from John Henrik Clark, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, at the Milton Labor Forum, 516-620-3602, the discussion on the formation of the Afro-American Unity, 516-620-3602, $185 pledge, ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy, A History, A Lifetime of Yearning of Liberation through one of the greatest philosopher, intellectuals, theoretician, activist of all time, the great Malcolm X, Alhaj Malik al-Shabazz. And we're going to go back and listen now while you call and ask for Malcolm X, The End of White World Supremacy. We want to incentivize you. We want to give you a taste of what we can. We're building bridges to you. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nass. Yes, we're building bridges from Malcolm to you, and then from you back to the station to support it.
I couldn't help but be very impressed at the outstart when the Freedom Singers were singing the song Oginga Odinga, because Oginga Odinga is one of the foremost freedom fighters on the African continent. At the time he visited in Atlanta, Georgia, I think he was then the Minister of Home Affairs in Kenya. But since Kenya became a republic last week and Jomo Kenyatta ceased being the prime minister and became president, the same person that you are singing about, Oginga Odinga, is now Kenyatta's vice president. He's the number two man in the Kenya government. And the fact that you would be singing about him, to me, is quite significant. 2 or 3 years ago, this wouldn't have been done. 2 or 3 years ago, most of our people would choose to sing about someone who was, you know, passive and meek and humble and forgiving. But Oginga Odinga is not passive. He's not meek. He's not humble. He's not nonviolent. But he's free. Oginga Odinga is vice president under Jomo Kenyatta, and Jomo Kenyatta was considered to be the organizer of the Mau Mau. And I think you mentioned the Mau Mau in that song. And if you analyze closely those words, I think you'll have the key to how to straighten the situation out in Mississippi.
Yes, sir!
When the nations of Africa are truly independent, and they will be truly independent because they're going about it in the right way, they will give the historians, will give the Prime Minister, or rather President Kenyatta, and the Mau Mau their rightful role in African history. They'll go down as the greatest African patriots and freedom fighters that continent ever knew, and they will be given credit for bringing about the independence of many of the existing independent states on that continent right now. There was a time when their image was negative, but today they're looked upon with respect, and their chief is the president, and their next chief is the vice president. And I have to take time to mention that because, in my opinion, not only in Mississippi and Alabama, but even right here in New York City, you and I can best learn how to get real freedom by studying how Kenyatta brought it to his people in Kenya, and how Odinga helped him, and the excellent job that was done by the Mau Mau freedom fighters. In fact, that's what we need in Mississippi. In Mississippi, we need a Mau Mau. In Alabama, we need a Mau Mau. In Georgia, we need a Mau Mau. Right here in Harlem and New York City, we need a Mau Mau. And I say it with no anger, but I say it with very careful forethought. The language that you and I have been speaking to this man with in the past hasn't reached him. And you can never really get your point across to a person until you learn how to communicate with him. If he speaks French, you can't speak German. You have to know what language he speaks and then speak to him in that language. And when I listened to Mrs. Hamer, a black woman, could be my mother, my sister, my daughter, describe what they had done to her in Mississippi, I asked myself, how in the world can we ever expect to be respected as men when we know that we will allow something like that to be done to our women and we do nothing about it? How can you and I be looked upon as men with black women being beaten and nothing being done about it? Black children and black babies being beaten and nothing being done about it. No, we don't deserve to be recognized and respected as men as long as our women can be brutalized in the manner as that this woman described and nothing be done about it, but we sit around singing, "We Shall Overcome." We need a Mau Mau. If they don't want to deal with the freedom, with the Freedom Democratic Party, then we'll give them something else to deal with. If they don't want to deal with the Student Nonviolent Committee, then we have to give them an alternative. But never stick someone out there without an alternative. We waste our time. Give them this or give them that. Give them the choice between this or that. When I was in Africa, I noticed some of the Africans got their freedom faster than others. And some areas of the African continent became independent faster than other areas. And I noticed that in the areas where independence had been gotten, someone got angry. And in the areas...
Malcolm speaking to the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, actually in New York, speaking on his experiences, having recently returned from the African continent and raising up the issue of the Mau Mau and the national liberation struggles in Africa to throw off colonialism, and referencing who was in the audience. And one of the people he was speaking to, Fannie Lou Hamer, who had so brutally been beaten as she was campaigning for the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party and had been arrested and had been bludgeoned repeatedly, just terrifying, permanently injured, etc. Malcolm X, the great Malcolm X, we have just 2 minutes to implore you, for yourself, for your community, to educate, agitate, and organize with others on Malcolm X, the end of white world supremacy. Call 516-620-3602. This should be the most important and popular premium that we have, because it is so prescient for this times. It is so relevant and immediate. Then for now, Malcolm Lives, Malcolm X, the end of white world supremacy. And you will get the 6 DVDs and you will get the 5 CDs. You will get the films, Make It Plain, Malcolm X, the full complement of understanding the life and times of Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik al-Shabazz, the particularly unique features that Gil Noble, producer of the film, focused on, looking at Pan-Africanism and the internationalism of Malcolm, the covert war against Malcolm X, the state of the state that he focused on and functioned within, Malcolm X's own story, the piece that was completed within months after he passed away with the assistance of the pained, permanently scarred and pained, but remarkable in her own right, Betty Shabazz, seven songs from Malcolm, one of the most creative juxtapositions of music and poetry to tell the story of Malcolm X. Malcolm X Raw, the history of the evolution and development of the politics of Malcolm X. And then, of course, the Ballot of Bullitt, and of course, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party speech, and of course, the major speech he made weeks before he passed to the Militant Labor Forum. Malcolm X speaking on the Black Revolution. Malcolm X speaking on the creation of the Afro-American Unity Organization in 1964. Malcolm X speaking to the SNCC workers down south. This is so much more. John Henry Clark speaking on Malcolm. African leaders from around the world coming to speak on what Malcolm meant to them. Great stuff. Call 516-620-3602. Forever, this will keep on keeping on. This is a treasure to be used. It is a library of revolutionary knowledge and a hope for self-determination, for equal rights and justice. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Build those bridges to WBAI supported $185 pledge, and you will be getting a history of the struggle for liberation to be used today. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
And we're building bridges.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Breathe deep.
Breathe deep.
Expand your mind.
And let the music be your driving force.
Enter a world of color and light.
And keep on thinking free.
The most eclectic mix of music in the city that never sleeps. At 99.5 FM WBAI New York. And streaming live at www.wbai.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Blosdell, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Today's show is an unusual one, as we are in a situation globally that we have never been in before. But at the same time, we also do need to raise much-needed funds for this radio station, this beacon of light that you're listening to right now. So we decided to do something very special for you today. And we just want to, as a radio station, we want to send our love and our hearts out to everyone right now in this moment, whatever you're going through. And I think that the material that you're going to be listening to today and my special guest is going to resonate with you and hopefully help you in many, many ways. My guest today is Brent Michael Phillips, who is a successful MIT-trained engineer who experienced a staggering physical challenge when, after years on total disability due to injuries and illness, his arm became immobile and frozen at the elbow after surgery. After a very long battle, of unsuccessful treatments, Brent discovered the miracle of energy healing when his arm was instantly and miraculously healed. He then spent years studying with various master healers and spiritual teachers to discover and reverse engineer the scientific laws and principles underlying miraculous instant healing, also financial abundance, loving relationships, success, mindset, and even enlightenment. He is the creator of the Awakening Dynamics System, which consists of advanced consciousness technology based on the seven sacred tools of higher dimensional living. He is also an award-winning author, an Amazon.com number one best-selling co-author, and the inventor of the Formula for Miracles audio technology that actually clears subconscious blocks while you listen to it. And we have had Brent on several times on Pacifica Radio, and I'm so honored and happy to have you back. Hello, Brent. Michael Phillips, welcome back, my dear friend.
It is great to be here today.
And it's great to be anywhere today, isn't it?
I think anywhere other than a hospital, absolutely.
So let's tell our wonderful listeners a little bit about our setup. It's not our usual thing, is it? Usually you come
no,
into the studio.
There's really nothing very usual about this. But you know what? I've been doing remote work for a long time, so no big deal. Normally I'll drive out to the studio and be there in the room with you. But this time we're all doing it remotely, so...
And I am currently in Australia, so we're about 7,000 miles away. And through the beauty of technology, we're able to be together. And most importantly, we're able to give our listeners something that I think right now is very, very, very much needed. And if you don't mind, for those people who are not familiar with you or the work that you do, would you mind just letting our listeners know a little bit about, especially this technology that you have discovered and created that can help people right now in these really critical, well, in any time, but especially right now?
Sure, absolutely. And so it's kind of funny that I would be the first to admit I never thought I'd be doing anything like this. Never in a million years. What I see myself is working in self-improvement, working as a professional healer, as an energy worker, helping people achieve higher consciousness and miraculous healings, even enlightenment. Because very much, especially if you'd known me when I was younger, I'm just a total nerd.
Total nerd.
I'm just a total nerd. I got all sorts of nerd cred. I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons, love Star Wars, Star Trek, all that kind of stuff. And so my first career was in software engineering because I was really good at working with computers, ended up in college at MIT, discovered the internet, and just fell in love. And by 1995, I had found myself in the Telemedia Networks and Systems Group at MIT, working for my doctorate on internet networking and being part of the world's headquarters for the World Wide Web Consortium. So I was right in the thick of what was going on with the internet boom.
You were like the king of nerds.
I was like the king of nerds.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I saw that as really the gold rush of my generation. And I figured, well, I'm one of the world's leading experts on internet networking right at the time when the internet is breaking into the mainstream. And so, long story short, I left MIT, moved to California, recruited my lifelong best friend to start a website company. And you would think, well, hey, Brent, with a start like that, you should have been enormously successful, huh? Well, I didn't just crash, I burned. Because what happened was we had a good start. We started the website company. The very first website I ever did was actually the website for the launch of the Sony PlayStation in the summer of 1995. That was my first website. So we were working with some real heavy hitters, lots of Fortune 500 companies. We worked for Nissan Motors. We worked for Disneyland. It was really fun. But then the reality caught up with me because I was so driven to be successful. I was basically pushing myself to work 1,800 hours a week because I figured I'll just work really hard on the startup for a couple of years, sell it for millions of dollars, and retire to some tropical island, right? But instead, my body broke down. And so I found myself with pretty severe chronic pain. After a couple of years of treatments, doctors gave up on me, told me I'd never be normal, I'd never be out of pain, I'd never be able to work again, and literally sent me home to die at 27 years old. And my partners decided to betray me. They're like, well, Brent, if you can't work anymore, you're worthless. So they took the website company I had built up and sold it for millions of dollars and told me to go screw myself. So that was a lot of fun. And but long story short, I had a huge falling out with my best friend, because not only had he stolen this company from me that I had literally crippled myself to build up, he also had started secretly dating the woman I was in love with.
Wow.
That was really the first dark night of the soul, as they say, where everything goes wrong. So here I am, living with my parents, put on permanent disability, told there's no chance of recovery, living with chronic pain and a broken heart, and I just lost my best friend. And so, long story short, I spent years trying to recover, alternative, conventional, cleansing, homeopathy, you named it, I tried it. And I ended up having an experimental surgery on my elbow. And when I woke up from the surgery, my arm was paralyzed. I couldn't move it at all. So that was really rock bottom. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And it was shortly after that, I got introduced to a woman named Terry, who did this crazy form of subconscious manipulation with energy and a theta brainwave, whatever that was, right? And long story short, I went to have a session with her. And she asked me a lot about my childhood and what had happened with my best friend and everything I'd been through. And did this kind of manipulation in the subconscious, this block clearing process and subconscious downloads. It was all very interesting, but I'm just like, hey, lady, right? I'm not here to talk about my feelings. I really want to improve my life.
Yes.
And so at the end of the session, she kind of went into a trance, and I didn't expect anything to happen because I'd been to different kind of healers before. I'd seen Reiki healers and done that kind of stuff. And she kind of went into this trance, and all of a sudden my elbow went pop. And long story short, I could move my arm again without any pain. It was truly a miracle. And I decided that I wanted to learn this. And that's really why I'm here today, is I've discovered some really amazing things about the universe and how it works in terms of the power of the mind. But what I want to offer everyone is a technology. This isn't just some self-improvement guru spouting off something that's been run through focus groups. This is really based on science. It's been experimented upon. It's been tested. And when you really look at it, all this mind power and energy healing and law of attraction is ultimately just technology. There are laws of the universe that govern how things work. We've heard about them, right? The law of gravity, the law of electromagnetism, the law of cause and effect. Well, there's also what you might call metaphysical laws, in like the law of attraction, the law of healing. And they are based in math and science and technology. And if we can crack that code and understand how it really works, we can then put it to work for us. And it was really interesting that going to the world of healing and self-improvement and consciousness, when I first got into it, I underestimated how difficult it would be. Because I thought, well, heck, I had straight A's in MIT at the most difficult major.
I can get this. I'll do straight A's in this.
Yeah, this will be easy, right?
Right.
This will be nothing compared to finals week at MIT. I mean, geez. Well, what ended up happening was I was terrible. I had no ability at first. I couldn't do it at all. I had no intuition. I had no ability to heal or work with energy. Why? I was totally stuck in my head.
You were getting in your own way.
Yep. All that education, all that training of the mind just drove me so deep into my head, I couldn't feel at all. And so what I found was I couldn't learn it the traditional way. The teacher just does it and then you repeat it and magic happens. Oh, that didn't work for me. Instead, I said, okay, let's take what I do have, a great understanding of science and engineering and technology. And I decided to reverse engineer the masters. And it took a lot longer than I expected. I figured it would take a year or two, ended up taking about 10. But over about 10 years, I worked with a lot of incredible gurus and teachers and masters, and little by little, I slowly figured out what they were doing and broke it down in terms of specific technologies. And so I kind of took all these amazing people, ran them through what I call my New Age nonsense filter, filtered out all the nonsense and feel-good and time-wasting aspects of what they did, and we're left with just what works, really the essential technology. And the good news is that learning this is so much easier than people think. Oh, my gosh. It really is. That it's really just a matter of having the right teacher, someone that can break it down for you. And honestly, that's probably my greatest gift. I'm not necessarily the world's greatest healer or intuitive, but I can take these often advanced and arcane and difficult concepts and ideas and make them really easy for people.
You're a very, very fine teacher. I can testify to that.
So that's really probably my greatest strength. And I've taken all this stuff and sorted out all the nonsense and made it super easy. So easy that it just is one example. Before I got certified as a master healer, that took me almost 7 years. And I was doing this full time. And I had spent something like, on the order of $100,000 just on different trainings and programs and intensives and such to get there. I can do that with my students, usually within 3 months. So I can take someone from zero to master healer in about 5% of the time and for about 2% of the cost. Why? It's all just technology. When you learn it the right way, it's easy.
And you have this brilliant ability, like you were saying earlier, to take these quite massive concepts, things that, might make other people, their eyes roll back in their head with the idea and the possibilities, and make it extremely simple, but also make it applicable to people's lives. And this is why I wanted to have you on during this particular fundraising effort. I wanted to have you on to really help guide people about the lies, the great lies that we're told, or maybe perhaps we've been conditioned to believe, and how the mind works, how the subconscious works, because we think that we're running the show and we think that we are this human body, but through the work that you've done and in this package that we're offering today to our listeners, the Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, the mega pack here, there's some truths that are quite amazing when you hear them, and when they're given the concepts the way you deliver them, it's like remembering something that you've known but you didn't know you knew. Does that make sense to you?
That's kind of how I felt when I went through this process myself.
Okay. Yeah.
That I'd see these things that seem so difficult and arcane, and then at a certain point, once I got it, it seemed natural and familiar. That it was is almost like a long lost friend that you reconnected with.
Exactly.
Yep. And so the truth is that all of us are meant to be powerful and have clarity and support and guidance. And that's what we remember. We've just lost our way in this modern world with all its technology and competition and scarcity and insufficiency and exploitation and so on and all the bad stuff in the world, right? We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten how life really works. And that's a tough place to be in. Imagine that you were engaged in a sports team and you didn't understand the rules of the game. You'd almost certainly be terrible and lose. But that's what's happened to so many of us today. We find ourselves doing the best we can day to day, but we don't actually understand the game of life. We don't know how it really works. And we're filled with these myths and stories that we learn from our parents and our teachers and the media and the government, which work just well enough to allow us to survive. So we don't question them, but very, very, really work very, very well for not many people. That right now in this world, there's a small number of people that are really getting all the benefits that the whole rest of the world is creating.
True.
And we can change that, but it has to be done one person at a time. It's not going to be done by holding a gun to a rich person's head and taking their money.
Correct.
It has to be done by saying, okay, how can we all make the shifts so that we can all become more powerful and create more of everything for everyone?
Well, I think one huge way that we can get there, and something that you explain in the material, I've had sort of a intensive going over all of the material that we're offering our listeners as well today. And one of the concepts that you make very clear, and you ask the question, what is the great lie? And I love the way your spin on this, your take on this, but we have been lied to, and it's not so much necessarily like we can go into the conspiracy thing about the government lies to you and this entity lies to you, but there is a great lie about who we are, what we are, correct?
It is, and it's insidious because most of us learned it from our parents. And they didn't realize they were telling us a lie because they thought it was the truth. And so this happens for enough people or for enough generations. The whole society is drowning in lies, but has no idea. And this is why the secrets for higher dimensional living are so important to us, because what's really going on is very different than what we think. And by getting a higher dimensional perspective, we can actually start seeing the truth of what's really happening. And that puts us in a powerful position to change things. And so as one example of this concept in action, let me explain what I mean when I say, well, higher dimensional living. That sounds cool, right? But hey, Brent, what does that actually mean? Well, what it means is this, that this whole shift we're going through, part of the great shift of 2012 and the ecliptical plane of the galaxy and the Mayan New Age and all these different mythologies that tap into it, it really boils down to something simple. We are adding a dimension to human consciousness. In the same way that if you imagine the world of Flatland and add the third dimension, all of a sudden there's a whole new aspect of reality that opens up for everybody.
Well, you have to explain Flatland again to our listeners.
Sure.
I love Flatland.
So Flatland.
I love living there.
Yep, it started as a short story, I think, in the 19th century, and it was then made into a cartoon in the 60s, and then even into a full length movie, I think, 10, 12 years ago. So it's a really wonderful story, and it's pretty simple. The idea is, in Flatland, all the people live and work and play in a flat world. The quote people are shapes, they're hexagons and pentagrams and such. And they live and work and play in a flat two-dimensional world. And during the story, one of them discovers the third dimension, the verticality, the up and the down. And as with many discoveries and breakthroughs in our world, at first he's ridiculed and people make fun of him. But it turns out he's right. And so what's going on is simple. When the whole rest of the world right now is still stuck in Flatland, while we are adding a dimension to our consciousness. And the people that are into these things, including most of the listeners to this show, are aware that something's going on, but may not really understand it. But when we learn to embrace and access that higher dimension, it gives us incredible new power and knowledge. So as an example, let's say that you want to get, you're in Flatland and there's a line that goes a million miles in each direction. Well, that's going to be almost impossible to get past, isn't it? You're going to have to travel over a million miles to get around this thing. Well, if you can access the third dimension, you can just jump over it.
Yeah, I love that.
And you're past it almost instantly.
Yeah.
And so that's an example of a higher dimensional perspective. When you can go up and down and no one else can, you have a huge advantage. And things that seem impossible to other people or extremely difficult are actually very easy for you. And so what I want to offer to everyone is, this is why we're having all these crises in the world. The universe, the divine, however you want to think about that, is forcing us to adapt.
Oh, say that again, Brent.
So the world, what we might think of as the divine or Gaia, the spirit of the planet, is forcing us to adapt by giving us situations and circumstances that we cannot keep using with the new problems. So as an example, the coronavirus pandemic, this is something that Western medicine cannot and is not ready to handle. But imagine if all across the world we had high awareness of energy healing and positive thinking and holistic medicine and good nutrition.
Wow.
My guess is we would not have nearly the same problem.
Oh, no. And I've spoken to also physicians who say that the impact that fear and anxiety have on your immune system in general. But when
absolutely.
When you can tap into a space, that other dimension where you are whole and you are healthy and you are well, and you can also help others. This is what I love about the technology and the work that you do, is it's not just about also healing ourselves. That's wonderful. And that comes in very handy, but this is also about healing others healing people near us, healing people remote, you know, far away, healing, sending healing energy and unconditional love to countries, to spaces that we've never been and people that we've never known. And that's something that is absolutely so powerful right now. I believe that's so powerful.
Yeah, our old consciousness of separation and limitation is not working very well.
No.
And we can easily imagine a different world in which this would not have been a big deal. And the universe will keep throwing us issues like this until we adapt. That quite simply, the way we've been living and the consciousness of our world has not kept up with our technology. Everyone knows that, right?
Correct.
Right. Let's think about that for a second. Most of the world are practicing religions that were created at least 1,400 years ago.
Yes.
All of the major religions were created well over 1,000 years ago. And we're still living in that consciousness. Because that religion drives our level of consciousness. It's what drives our politics. It's what drives a lot of things. But yet, 1,000 years ago, we were still living in villages. It was the frickin' Dark Ages in Europe. Mm-hmm. Right? It was not a pleasant time to be alive.
They were using leeches.
They were using leeches for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't have gunpowder. We didn't have sailing ships. We didn't have any of these things. And so we had this really primitive technology. It wasn't those people's fault. That's just when they lived, right? But we had a consciousness paired to that low level of technology, and that worked okay. We're still using that same 1,000-plus-year-old consciousness with thousands of years of scientific and technological evolution. So now we have supercomputers and space telescopes and the internet, and we all have computers in our pocket that are more powerful than anything you could buy 50 years ago.
True.
So, and yet we're still using the same consciousness from thousands of years ago. Of course we're having problems. And our consciousness needs to catch up. Right. So the universe has given us this great gift of unlocking a new dimension. We just have to learn to access it. And that's exactly what I show people to do in the Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. It's a technological approach, step by step, to accessing, using, applying these higher dimensional abilities we all have. Just most of us either don't realize we have them or don't know what to do about it. As just one of them, some of your listeners may be familiar with what's called muscle testing or applied kinesiology.
Yes.
This is a simple process. Most people can learn in about 10 minutes. That's really all it takes for most people. 10,
I'd 15. Say even less than that. When you
Yeah, sometimes less than that.
Yeah.
And you can tap right into your body's own subconscious mind. With 10 minutes of training, you can ask any question you want of your subconscious and see what's in there. I mean, that's amazingly powerful, isn't it?
That's hugely powerful.
Right? This
nobody
is just
knows
one example.
This.
Right?
Nobody knows about
this. This is just one example of these abilities we all have that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Most people have no idea how to communicate with their subconscious. And if you haven't been trained right, you may think it takes months or years of training. It took me months to learn this. But I can do it now in 5-10 minutes with people. And so this is just one example of this incredible ability that's been unlocked within us that most people don't even know is there.
And before you go to the other aspects, why is it important that we tap into our subconscious?
Well, it's pretty simple. To tie this all together, when we talk about higher dimensional living, right, when we talk about things like miraculous instant healings, profound transformations of your career, finding love, higher consciousness, even enlightenment, when we look at all these things, what's really going on is those are effects of the higher dimensions, right? Intuition is simply higher dimensional perception. Instant healing is simply a higher dimensional change in the body. And so when we look at it from the point of view of technology, what's going on is actually pretty simple. The way we access the higher dimensions is through our own subconscious. That's how it works. So if you know how to work with your own subconscious, that is the way you directly communicate with the higher dimensions. And so just one example that I think a lot of the listeners will be familiar with, let's talk about the law of attraction. The law of attraction is what I would call a metaphysical law. It's something you can't measure in a laboratory, but it's there and it's real. So how do we tell the law of attraction to bring us something? Well, we all know that the typical law of attraction teachings don't work for most people. There's exceptions, right? Think positive, make your vision boards, say your mantras,
right.
Join a mastermind, right? I'm not saying don't do those things. I think they can all be useful and powerful.
Yes.
But for most people, it doesn't do it. For most people, that does not bring you your soulmate or millions of dollars or financial freedom or enlightenment or healing your body, right?
Right. Because? Right.
Because they're not working through the subconscious. That's all the law of attraction listens to.
And so the subconscious is running the ship.
Right. The subconscious is running the whole show. And so the law of attraction only listens to your subconscious. And so it's almost like you're blowing a dog whistle. Right. Humans can't hear a dog whistle because it's too high frequency.
Right.
So when we're shouting at the law of attraction with our vision boards and our mantras, the law of attraction just can't hear us. We're in the wrong frequency. How do we communicate with it? Well, through your own subconscious, our own internal belief systems and stories and myths. They literally tell the law of attraction what to bring us in our life. And so one of the secrets to higher dimensional living is simple. You learn how to recode your own subconscious. You'll start sending a different set of instructions to the higher dimensions and your life will manifest differently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's trying to tie it all together. So why is it important to get into the subconscious? Well, that's our gateway to the higher dimensions. That's how all these incredible things happen. And so the theory of it is pretty simple. You just recode your subconscious according to how you'd like your life to be. And then the law of attraction will actually hear you. And it will actually start bringing you different experiences and opportunities. But like with muscle testing, if you don't know how this works or no one's ever shown you how to do it, you'll have no idea.
Right.
You'll have no idea that you could even do this. Of course not. You know, it's kind of like we see this. I'm a basketball fan and I love to watch the dunk competition. And every year someone does a new dunk that no one's ever done before. And before anyone does it, everyone thinks, oh my God, that seems impossible, too dangerous. He's not going to pull that off. And then they do. And then 3 years later, everyone's doing it. Why? Once someone shows us that it can be done, it gets into the mass consciousness. It becomes easy. And we saw this with the 4-minute mile. For a long time, people thought it's impossible. And then one dude did it. And then the next 3 years, like 10 more people did it. So all this higher dimensional stuff is the same. It may seem a little far out, a little crazy at first, but the more of us that learn it and practice it, the easier it makes it for everybody else.
And you make it so easy and accessible for people.
That's my goal, is to make it so easy that you really don't have any more excuses to not do it.
Exactly. And
right. It's not going to take 7 years. It's not going to cost $100,000. You don't have to move to India or change your name or give away your possessions or any of that.
Right.
None of it's necessary. You can just learn the technology and apply it.
And you give the technology to people. I am so grateful that you've came into my life and to my family's life, because especially at times during like this, I'm living in a different space. I'm living in a different headspace with everything that's going on right now. And I much of that I will say is because of the work that you do and that you've brought to me, the technology that I get to access thanks to the programs that you do. We're going to be talking about this wonderful pack that we're offering to our listeners, but that's including the technology, the Theta brainwave technology that all somebody has to do in many respects to clear these blocks, these subconscious blocks, is to listen to and to go through the clearings that you offer. I want to make sure that our listeners have the opportunity to get this material. It's a perfect time. it's a perfect opportunity for people to get this material into their lives and with their families. It's called The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. This is the mega pack that Brent Michael Phillips is offering our wonderful listeners as a thank you for supporting this radio station, where we get to talk about these concepts, where we get to share these amazing technologies and techniques that Brent has been mastering over many decades. And he has spent so many years and finances to achieve. So this particular package that we're offering our listeners is quite exclusive. Is it not, Brent?
It is. And it's something that I haven't offered before, but I decided to make it available exclusively through the radio station because I think that people really need help right now.
Yes, they do.
And a lot of people don't have a lot of money, but maybe you do have more time than usual.
Yes, yes.
And so I looked through all my material and said, well, what can I make available that will be the most impactful to people, that will give them the maximum amount of new power and insight and ability, and that will work through the radio station to support their fund drive? And this is what I came up with, that it's the full set of recordings and materials from my Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, which normally is a 3-day intensive. And so you get to go through the entire thing. There's a manual that's over 100 pages. There's something like 15, 16 hours of recorded sessions of exercises and lectures. And I don't normally give it away in this format at any price. Normally, I only offer this as a live event and then give recordings to the people that attended, because it is a lot more powerful to do it as a live event, for sure. But it's also more expensive, and it's a lot more difficult to administer.
And how? And people don't have to get on a plane.
That's right.
And get a hotel.
And even if I did it as an online class, it would still be difficult.
No, this is the perfect time for people to dive in.
So I wanted to make it available, just the materials and recordings and bonuses, so everyone can start learning how to access these higher dimensions. And you will learn how to get to a theta brain state in seconds, how to perform an instant healing, how to do a subconscious block clearing, how to do a subconscious download, all again in seconds. This is fast stuff. It's very easy. You'll learn how to do a powerful manifestation from a theta state. You'll learn how the subconscious works. You'll learn how to communicate with the subconscious. You'll learn the cycle by which we create reality through the subconscious. Well, you'll learn all about awakening, which is really a much more expansive perspective on consciousness and the idea of the self and God and life, which is enormously transformative just in its own right. I'll show you how to do things like soul fragment retrieval, cord cutting, how to clear your space, how to clear a pendulum, how to clear a device. All these things are all included, because I want people to have these tools. And I don't want to necessarily make them wait for my next live event, which is actually months away, to get them. So we're putting this all together. So all you have to do is make the donation to the radio station. And I'm going to give you all of these materials and show you how to do all these things.
And it's all in one beautiful, yep. It'll be delivered as a link. Once the people have the link and the password, they'll be able to access all of these. And it is so enjoyable to be. I feel like I was in this course with the people that were there live when I was watching the recording. You're extremely masterful in your teachings, Brent. And another aspect, you kind of glossed over it, but the manual that is included, it's like 110 pages. This is a workbook manual that is really important and vital. And people can, of course, they can print it out if they like. They can have that on their computer or also on their phone. It is so valuable, that workbook that is included with this Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, the mega pack. I want to stress the importance of that. But then also you've also included some bonuses as well.
You'll also get some extra bonuses. You'll get the theta brainwave meditation. You'll get the theta waves trauma clearing audio that you can hear just to clear traumas out of your subconscious. I mean, I think just that alone is worth more than 10 times the donation level, just for that one bonus. You'll get my entire ebook series. I did a 3-book ebook series called Where Science Meets Spirit, The Formula for Miracles. So you get all of that. There is a hour long DVD video training on muscle testing. So you'll get that included. You'll get a trial to my online VIP club, where we have all sorts of Q&A sessions and block clearing calls. I give away private sessions. We even have two live practice groups every week. So all that will be included.
Wow.
So that everyone can get off and running. And in addition, of course, I'm hoping that some of the listeners will want to join us at the live event. So anybody that gets all the materials, if you want to join us at the live event, I'm going to apply the entire amount of your donation towards that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So there's an easy upgrade path. Because honestly, there are some things we can do live that we can't do through a recording. But you'll get all the information, all the process, all the instructions. And honestly, there's so much content there. It's probably at least 10, 20 times what you're getting in a typical self-improvement weekend. That it's not just going to be one good idea with filler for 3 days. It's going to be a new life-changing insight, technique, secret every 5 or 10 minutes.
Yes.
So it would be ideal for everyone to get the material ahead of time and go through it once. And then if you're interested, join us for the live event and you'll be amazed at how much deeper it goes the second time.
Brilliant.
So, but again, only for people that feel this is a great fit. But everyone will learn how to do healings. Everyone will learn how to do block clearings, downloads, theta manifestations, space clearings, sending unconditional love, all included.
Yeah, and it's so important right now, in particular to the well-being theta brainwave audio. This is a 45-minute program that people can listen to. And this is a really pivotal time that we're living in right now. And I can tell you that it's something that I use on the regular, and it is absolutely life-changing for me, myself. And the trauma clearing program that's also included in this package is also something that is huge. When I've did my own muscle testing, the work that I've done with you, and I've done my own muscle testing to work on my blocks, I remember one of the areas I needed, it didn't clear right away. And I needed to use something a little bit deeper, I guess. And I used the trauma clearing program, and I felt it shift in me. I felt the change and the shift. And it's absolutely so easy for people to do it. Again, you don't have to go and sit with a guru on a mountaintop and invest thousands and thousands of dollars. It's all right there at our fingertips with these programs that you have provided, you know, humanity. So I'm just so grateful to you, Brent Michael Phillips, for everything that you do. I really am.
And it's my motivation is pretty simple. I'm motivated. I want to leave the world a little better place than I found it for my son.
Mm.
And I know that there's just not enough of me to go out and do this on my own. So I've created this material to try to empower people. That if we have enough people out there creating the high frequency, being beacons of light and consciousness, that's all it's going to take. And the number of people we need is actually very manageable. It's been calculated scientifically. And so in order to change the consciousness of a group, you need to have at least the square root of 1% of that group working in concert, working together to change the consciousness. For the whole world, that's only about 10,000 people.
Wow.
And I think we can do that.
Oh, yes.
And if we're talking smaller groups like the city, the state, the nation, that number goes down. But to change the entire world, all we need is 10,000 people of sufficiently high consciousness working together.
Well, that's our Pacifica listeners. That's a handful of Pacifica listeners. Okay, so I'm going to throw out the phone number. I want people to, if they want to get this material, and we can get this actually quite quickly to you because it is all digital. It is all online. We don't have to send anything out physically, so you'll be able to get this. This is why we need your email address. It's extremely important so we can have Brent communicate with you and get you this content as soon as we can. So it's called The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. It's the Mega Pack. And you're going to get, now this is an exclusive offer from Brent Michael Phillips. He's never done this before, put these packs together in this way. You'll get full access to Brent's recordings, all of the recordings from Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. This was a course that took place over 3 days, and you're going to have access to those recordings. Plus, you're going to also get 4 additional life-enhancing programs, because you also mentioned the muscle testing program as well. So you'll get the Well-Being Theta Brainwave. This is an audio MP3 file that's 45 minutes. You can listen to this. We'll have Brent talk a little bit more about the Theta Brainwave, the Theta level. You're also going to get another bonus, the Trauma Clearing Program, the Introduction and the Main Program, the Health Club Session, which we haven't talked about yet, but also the extra bonuses of the 3 ebook series, Where Science Meets Spirit, The Formula for Miracles. All of this is yours to help enhance your life, the world, your family. It is such a critical time right now, and it is a perfect opportunity. The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, the Mega Pack, We Need Your Email Address, is available to you for a donation of $200. Call this number right now.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
Again, you want to ask for Brent Michael Phillips, The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. If you've been listening to us this hour, if you've been inspired, if something gave you goosebumps when you were listening to Brent speaking about this technology and how he wants to get it out to as many people as possible, this is your opportunity right now. You can go to his website and pay a lot more for some of these programs, but many of these programs aren't even available on your website, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Most of these are, some of the bonuses are available, but you have to pay for them. But the main offer, the package of the recordings and all the materials for the intensive is not.
Okay. So that's...
You can't get that.
Okay. But you can get it here right now.
Yep. You can get it right here, right now.
Call this number right now. It's
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
Please make sure you give us your email. That is extremely important so we can get this material to you. It is hours upon hours. There is over 16 hours of just the teachings in this, the recordings of the Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living that Brent goes through with you. Over 16 hours of content just in that. And then there's the additional programs as well. So please do give us a call. It's a donation of $200 to keep this amazing beacon of light, the Pacifica radio station that you tune into every single day. We want you to get this material. Again, we're going to send it out to you as soon as we can. We need your email address, and the number to call is
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
Give us a call right now, and if the lines are, they won't be busy, but if you're put on hold, please be patient. We know a lot of people are calling right now to get this material.
Once again, 516-620-3602.
Now, Brent, we have just a couple minutes left in this hour, and I wanted to have you express what the Theta Brainwave technology, why that's important, why that's in this package, and how people can use it right away once they get access to this material.
Sure. So there's certain key aspects of the technology that I discovered by reverse engineering the masters. And all the elements of it are in the training, in the materials people will get. But I'll share just one piece right now, which is the Theta Brainwave state. And what is found is that there's actually been done fascinating research by both the U.S. military, the Soviet Union, Stanford SRI did some research into these different paranormal phenomena, into remote viewing and instant healing and manifestation and so on. What they found is fascinating, that all of these things were strongly correlated to a theta brain state. And that's the brain wave when we normally go to when we're asleep and dreaming, in what's called REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. So we need to be able to get to that same sleeping brain state when we're awake. And that theta state acts like a magical key that unlocks the power of the subconscious. So the way you get to those higher dimensions is by using the theta state to get into the subconscious, which then talks directly to the law of attraction. And it's so fascinating if we look at someone, that there's different examples through history of how we got clues about the theta state. We may have heard about Homer, the blind poet, who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. They called him the blind poet because he would close his eyes when he was reciting and channeling. Because when you keep your eyes open, that disrupts the theta state. We see this in the work of Edgar Cayce. Mm. That he would go into this hypnotic, half-awake, half-asleep state to do his readings and work. Well, that is the theta state. And so this has been independently rediscovered over and over and over again through history. Now, let's just make it part of the technology so that 1,000 more people don't have to rediscover it the next 100 years. And I'm going to show you a really easy way to get there. That on the very first day of the training, a couple hours in, I'm going to show you how to get to the theta state. And, you know, the first time it'll take you a couple minutes, but once you've been through it a few times, you'll be able to do it in maybe 5, 10, 20 seconds. Mm. And then you have this incredible new ability to use any time you want for the whole rest of your life.
That's a beautiful gift.
It just gets better from there.
Yes, it does. And you also included in this package is the trauma clearing program. And I had mentioned that briefly. This is a whole other show. I mean, a whole other hour to talk about.
Yeah, we could talk for a whole hour just on trauma clearing. Absolutely.
I know, but if you can't, in a nutshell, the importance of this, because I think something that holds humanity back.
Sure. It's basically the trauma clearing is your big gun. That a trauma is a very deeply embedded subconscious block, and that may resist the simple clearing techniques. So I included this. It takes a lot longer. A simple block clearing will take you about 5, 10 seconds. The trauma clearing will take 15, 20 minutes, but it's much thorough and goes much deeper. So if the block clearing process you learn in the intensive is a rifle, then the trauma clearing is like a huge artillery shell. Mm. That it's a lot bigger. It's a lot more work. It takes a lot more time, but it gives you a much bigger bang. And so clearing the traumas is really important for us to unlock our full abilities. Many of us are carrying all sorts of traumatic imprints in the subconscious. They keep us from making money. They keep us from healing. They keep us from feeling love. They inhibit our intuition. They create suffering. It just goes on and on and on. So it's a really powerful tool to break out for those big issues that you can't just knock out in 5 or 10 seconds.
I love this program. I love all of this stuff. I do. Because we're just millions of people walking around. We're millions of traumas, little mini traumas walking around, and our subconscious mind is running the show. And it's no wonder we're destroying the world in many respects. No wonder we're at war with each other. No wonder there's been violence and all of this. And this is something that is so. Now you've given us the ability to tap in and to heal those aspects of our being that can change our lives and can change the world around us. And that's the importance of this. So, I'm so excited. I got goosebumps. Okay. So I'm going to throw out the number again. You only have just a couple minutes here, folks, to give us a call, get this technology and experience hours upon hours of teachings from Brent Michael Phillips. I consider Brent one of the master teachers on this planet, and we are so blessed to have him on our airwaves, and I would love to get this material to you. He is offering this to you. It's an exclusive. It's not available in this format to anyone else except for you, the wonderful Pacifica listeners. The number to call is
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
It is a $200 donation to this station. We want this information to get to you as soon as possible so you can apply it to your health. You can apply it to your family's health, your finances, your relationships, with other people, but more importantly, your relationship with yourself. The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. It's the Mega Pack from Brent Michael Phillips. The number to call is
516-620-3602.
You get 3 days worth of access to the full recordings from Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living. You also get all of the life-enhancing programs mentioned, the well-being theta brainwave audio. You get the trauma clearing audio. You get the health club session. You get the ebooks. You get the workbook that is 110 pages. That is your companion workbook that goes with this program. as well as an additional bonus of how to do muscle testing, why it's important. And I am just so excited to get this material to you at this critical time in our lives.
516-620-3602.
The Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, the Mega Pack from Brent Michael Phillips.
516-620-3602.
Brent, I want to thank you again, my friend, for giving our listeners much needed information and technology and teachings, but also for the gift that you give the world just through your presence here. And I am always, always happy and honored to have you on the air with me. So thank you so very much. And if there's any last words you want to say to the listeners right now in this moment in our history, please go ahead and take the mic.
Sure. I just want everyone to know that whenever there's chaos, there's always opportunity. Mm. And so this is always true. That if we look at, for example, the Great Depression, there were a significant number of millionaires created during the Great Depression because they're the people that didn't succumb to the mass consciousness of fear. They're the ones that said, hey, how can we do things differently? Where's the opportunity? And so I feel blessed to be here today because perhaps because of this pandemic, there's more people listening to the radio than usual. Mm. And maybe some of them have more time on their hands than usual. And so if that ends up meaning we got a few more light workers on our team to raise the consciousness of this world and really make a big difference on a global scale, that's awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So I wanted to encourage everyone that, yeah, there's a lot of problems right now, but there's also great opportunity.
Yes.
So take advantage of it. It may not always be there. You know, at some point, things will be, quote, back to normal, and you'll have different opportunities. But this one is here, right now. And I don't think it's a coincidence. What do you think?
No, I think it's I think it's exactly as it should be. And everyone who's listening right now tuned in as they were supposed to tune in. So thank you again, Brent Michael Phillips. And I want to thank our wonderful listeners. Folks, keep those calls coming in right now. You're supporting this beautiful beacon of light, this Pacifica radio station that you love and enjoy. And we want to support you in these times with this material. I am blown away every single time with every single teaching that Brent Michael Phillips gives the world. And this is truly no exception. You've outdone yourself, Brent. It's the Secrets for Higher Dimensional Living, the Mega Pack, yours for a donation, a loving donation of $200. We need your email address so you can get all of this information. Brent Michael Phillips, I love and adore you. Would you like to throw out your website so people can check out?
Sure. Anyone that's interested in getting announcements of my events, and I send a lot of cool natural health articles and about consciousness, just hop onto my website at awakeningdynamics.com.
Beautiful.
And you should see a little box pop up. Just put in your first name and primary email, and you will hear from me shortly.
Wonderful, my friend. Thank you so very much. I love and adore you. Thank you. And I want to thank you, wonderful listeners, for tuning in. Get this material. I know that. If you've gotten other programs from Brent Michael Phillips, this is in addition to that, because it is so much. You go so in depth in this 3-day course that people will have access to the full recordings on. So I encourage people to call up and pledge now, even if you've also pledged and gotten Brent's material in the past. Call that number. Okay. Peace to you. I'm sending my love and my happiness and my unconditional love to every single person, and especially you, Brent Michael Phillips. I'll see you soon, okay, in person.
That'll be awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Stay tuned for more programming coming your way. Don't you go anywhere.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity.
Cannonball Adderley.
When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called Mercy. Mercy. Mercy.
WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry, program director of this wonderful radio station, and here's my report to the listener for May 2020. As you know, part of WBAI's mission is to serve economically disadvantaged, low-income and poor people, immigrants, newcomers, refugees. We're doing this through many of our legacy and new programs, like Working Class Heroes with a Young Latinx Collective. They joined us Thursday evenings at 7:30, right after Indivisible 101. Caribbean Voices and Beyond with Isaac Ferguson is on Saturday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m., and a second edition of On the Count for those behind bars, as well as support for reentry and loved ones, is now on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. as well as Saturday morning at 10. We have a new climate action program, Think 100%, with the Hip Hop Caucus and Reverend Yearwood Friday mornings. Green Street is now on weekly at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. Staying Home with Josh Fox, your revolutionary guide to the Green New Deal, is now on weekdays, Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. And we're broadcasting the Metropolitan Virtual Playhouse. These are live Victorian age plays broadcast on WBAI Saturday evening. Other changes include an additional program for one of the favorites here at WBAI, David Rothenberg, and he's also one of our most successful on-air fundraisers. Besides Saturday morning, he's now also on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Glenn Ford and Margaret Kimberly with Black Agenda Report join us Wednesdays at 3 p.m. And Sri Srinivasan hosts Coping with COVID, a helpful, hopeful call-in show on Saturdays at noon. We are sharing our programs with WPFW, our sister station, and they are sharing theirs with WBAI. This as we move towards a more collaborative relationship with the Pacifica Network after the coup. We now have regular hourly newscasts during the week, and at 6 p.m. weekdays, we've got Indy's John Tarleton delivering the WBAI evening news on Mondays, and Paul DiRienzo has been giving us steady newscasts Tuesday through Fridays. We have more in the works, and we'll share more in good time. As you're well aware, if you listen to the station, almost all of our programs are addressing the COVID pandemic in one way or another. Struggles of our first responders and essential workers, and how the virus and restrictions disproportionately affect people of color. We're carefully watching and reporting on the reopening, as well as mixed signals from this White House. All that being said, we are also, of course, operating remotely. Our staff is doing a wonderful job. For example, Felipe Luciano is broadcasting from Puerto Rico on Saturdays, but you'd almost think he was in our studio thanks to his commitment and our excellent ops staff, operations staff, most notably Reggie, Max, Michael, Sean, Giovanni, and Catherine. Regarding our listenership, we know pre-COVID that we have a large listenership that drives in the morning and afternoon in New Jersey and to and from Long Island and Westchester. We are collecting and evaluating data to understand what effect, if any, COVID has on radio, and specifically on WBAI and Pacifica. I just want to take a moment to thank those of you who have become supporters of WBAI, who are reaching out to help this radio station, this listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station during this crisis, to keep it floating, to keep it broadcasting. And of course, you can always still support WBAI. Call 516-620-3602 and become a WBAI member or a buddy to one of your favorite shows or all WBAI shows. Stay safe, and thanks once again.
Mercy, 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 mercy. Thank you.
This is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth since 1960.
Singing the blues
our guest today is Dr. Gwen Scott, a naturopathic doctor and former CNN news anchor. Dr. Scott is a master herbalist who has studied with the prominent alternative medicine practitioner, Dr. Deepak Chopra, and she has also studied with traditional healers in the Latino, Hispanic, and Native American communities. Today we have a must-have 3-DVD set in which Dr. Scott offers simple and easy natural remedies for some very common ailments. So if you'd like to learn how to stop a cold or flu in its tracks, cure an earache, eliminate scars, or make your own rescue remedies, this is something that you're going to want to have. Welcome, Dr. Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good to be talking to you. When you see articles or specials about irradiation, one of the things that the mainstream media says is that irradiation is harmless, and that in scientific studies, if you compare non-irradiated food to irradiated food, that it's the same, it has the same value, the same molecular structure. Many people don't buy it and are, you know, we're not consuming food that was labeled irradiated when these things were first coming out. And so obviously they've gone back to the drawing board on forcing their consumers. But really, what happens to food? What is irradiation and what happens to food when it's irradiated?
Well, you know, you don't have to be a nuclear rocket scientist, mm-hmm. whatever, surgeon, to figure out that radiation,
mm-hmm.
We use it to kill things.
Mm.
Period. And when these nutrients in our foods, the enzymes, the vitamins and minerals, are very delicate. And in microwaving is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we embrace that technology because it got things on the table more quickly, but now we're looking at physicists and all kinds of scientists saying, you know, it's so rearranges the molecular structure that your body, and it's perhaps one of the reasons Americans are struggling with weight like they are. And one physicist called it food wad. He said, you know, it may look like broccoli or whatever, but when it goes into your system, your body doesn't know what it is because it's been so molecularly changed and altered.
Mm.
So it sort of stores it, as he called it, food wad or fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this where, Natalie, I've asked people, just tape your microwave closed for a month,
mm-hmm.
and see how your weight does. And they all report, in varying degrees, weight loss.
And this is because of the way the molecular structure of the food has changed from either radiation by irradiating food or the radiation from a microwave?
Exactly. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
But they all essentially do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is
zap, and we use the word zap,
mm-hmm.
nuke. Somewhere deep inside of us, we know this is not the way we want to do our foods. And to me, the most important aspect of this is choice. We should have a choice. If we want organic foods unmolested, we should be able to get them. We should not have it mandated to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can grow your own, that's the way to go. If you know a local organic farmer, but most people don't. They go to the health food store and depend on those folks, you know, to bring their fruits and vegetables in a fairly clean, non-chemical, non-altered whole food state.
Mm-hmm.
And this will change that dramatically.
The Natural Medicine Survivor's Guide 3-DVD set, and it really shows us the value in something like this, because for so many of us who, there's several aspects. One, when you think about laws like the Food Safety Modernization Act and facing limited choices, less choices, it becomes more essential to know how to take care of yourself naturally. It becomes more clear why something like a Survivor's Guide to Natural Medicine is important for people. And so, you know, I'm sure that you started putting this together before things like food safety modernization were on the horizon, just out of wanting to share what you know and what you understand and what you see people need as a practitioner. But times have changed, and this is now actually becoming critical and coveted, and maybe even one day contraband information that you've put together here in the Natural Medicine Survivor's Guide.
Yeah, you know, I had what they say, rumors of war. I saw this happening, and I was hearing rumors from other countries, and I could see what was happening in this country, the systematic removal of all of our freedoms that we so cherish. And, of course, in my end of the world, that means natural medicines and herbs and good food. And so I had spent 30 years really working, as you said in the introduction, with all of these. And I don't want to forget the African-American community either, because I spent a good time in the Mississippi Delta working with some very old healers there. And what I've tried to do is go back to the basics, find things that are available to everyone that cost pennies. I hate elitist medicine. It's sacred. It wasn't ever meant to be a cash cow. And that did the job and did no harm. And I would say at this point, Natalie, anytime we do anything new in our healthcare regimen, we should be working with a practitioner. I mean, that's just the way we should be doing it, especially if we're taking any over-the-counter pharmaceutical drugs, because even the most benign herb will contraindicate with some of these drugs. So the pharmacist is your point person.
Mm-hmm.
They know which ones contraindicate with what herbs and supplements. An example, if you're on heart meds, most of them you should not even get near grapefruit, which is a pretty nutritious, benign thing. But when combined with this drug, causes problems. So always, no matter what, work with a healthcare, a professional healthcare practitioner. I have to say that because it's really true. I put this together from my heart and soul because I did feel these days were coming, I'm sad to say, and that people would be a bit lost if most people in this country got into natural or alternative, it's called, medicine. Once everything was up and running, prepackaged, pre-prepared, go to the health store, it's all there for you, there are books, you know. But what happens if that all goes away? Where are the roots? Well, that's what I've spent 30 years doing, is finding the roots to all of these prepackaged, pre-prepared, nicely presented. But if they go away, what would you do? You wouldn't know. So that's what this DVD, it's over 4 hours. You know, I was laughing once, I thought, War and Peace. I didn't realize when I started it would be so much information. I didn't realize.
It's phenomenal. It really is. I mean, I'm really impressed. I've gone through the DVDs, and you packed so much information in here. And as I was watching, I was thinking, you know, I'm a trained herbalist, and I've also managed a holistic healthcare center. And so when I first saw the set, I thought, okay, you know, you see so many materials, new books, new box sets, and half the time they really don't have that much to offer. Or you cringe when you hear the things that they're sharing with people. And so I did not have high expectations when I popped in the DVDs. And I kept saying as I watched you and listened to you, I was like, that's right on point. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I love sharing, especially when I was a practicing herbalist, seeing clients. You know, I also called it kitchen medicine, and I also called it grocery store medicine. But the stuff that I love to share with people is the stuff that you can either roll right out into your yard and pick, or for those of us who don't have a lot of access to land, we can roll right into the grocery store, go to the produce aisle where the herbs and the roots are, and pick so much medicine. And I remember when I would share that with people, because one of the things that puts people off sometimes about natural medicine is that it's become a commodity, a very pricey commodity. And so a lot of times people just don't even get started because they think, oh, I don't have any more money to spend on, you know, going and buying these supplements and these herbs, and, you know, I'll just stick with what I've got going. And the great thing about kitchen medicine and grocery store medicine and garden medicine is that, like you said, it's pennies on the dollar. It's very accessible. It's very simple. And it's incredibly empowering. You know, when you are, you know, in a bind, you feel a virus coming on. And instead of, you know, having to go down to the drugstore and part with, you know, $10, $15 for something over the counter or even more, if it's a prescription, when you can go into the grocery store and for a few dollars, you know, buy an herb or a root and take it home and make a tincture or a tea or an oil extraction, and you're better, you know, you just feel yourself getting better right when you start to take it. That feeling of not only, you know, am I getting better on my own, but it's, I'm getting better naturally, I'm getting better with something from the earth. That whole combination is so empowering, and you don't have that drug hangover that you can sometimes have when you take these medications that make you drowsy or have side effects like, you know, your stomach hurts. So, you know, you have a new problem is often what happens is you trade one for another.
All drugs, whether they're pharmaceutical, over-the-counter prescription, have a toxic nature to them. And it's in varying degrees, some extremely toxic.
Well, and I just remember recently there was a whole scare with the children's versions of those kinds of medicines. Yeah. And I guess several children and infants had died from taking the children's version. And then all of a sudden there was this giant recall. And, you know, one week it was like, don't give them to your kids. The next week it was give these particular brands. And you think to yourself, okay, if you just told me that children are dying, why am I even going to go back from recall mode into, you know, this particular lot is safe. So I think that at this point, consumers feel like they want an alternative. They need sound information. They need something affordable. And that's what Natural Medicine, the Survivor's Guide, is giving us. So I just want to remind everybody that we are in Fund Drive and that Dr. Gwen Scott is the creator of Natural Medicine, a Survivor's Guide. It's a 3-DVD set that we're offering today for your pledge of $150. 4 hours of just pure education, but not just education.